We continue our studies in the Gospel of Matthew this morning. In the next portion that we read together from verse 18 of chapter 9, in that very familiar set of incidents of the resurrection of Jairus' daughter and the restoration of this woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. It's a story that's recounted in each of the synoptic Gospels. But you'll notice that each of them are of varying lengths. And Mark places this particular set of incidents just after Jesus had dealt with legion in Mark chapter 5. And in placing these two stories together, Mark indicates to us that we're saved by grace, as legion was, through faith, which is the whole point of these stories. And the ideas go together in Scripture. But as we come together to study this story in the context of Matthew's Gospel, we need to remind ourselves of what Matthew has already pointed out in his Gospel up to this point. You will recall, if you've been here over the past number of weeks, that there was a great division between the people who heard Jesus. There were some who accepted what he had taught and what he had done, and there were others who rejected him and dismissed him. Back in chapter 8 and verse 34, after Jesus had healed these two demon-possessed men, we read, "Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region." And Jesus faces controversy in chapter 9 and verse 3, where people say, "This fellow's blaspheming." And in verse 24, where, having said this little girl was sleeping, the people laughed him, mocked him to scorn, and dismissed him. But there were others who, seeing Jesus, recognized something different about him and stood in awe, waited for him to teach them, and saw that authority had been given to him. And it's the same to the present day. Things haven't changed at all, really, except the format in which unbelief expresses itself. Wherever the gospel is preached, there are those who come to Jesus Christ in simple faith and place their trust in him. But on the other hand, there are those who are too sophisticated for that kind of thing, and they dismiss Jesus. But another theme too that Matthew points out for us is that the extent of Jesus' dominion. We're familiar with those words at Christmas time from the prophecy of Isaiah, of the increase of his government and of peace. There will be no end. And here in the gospel story, we see that the gates of hell, men like legion, nature in storm, the death of a girl, are all governed under the authority of Jesus Christ. And he takes men like legion and women, like this woman subject to bleeding, and restores to them true peace, true shalom. We see Jesus' absolute command and authority displayed for us, allied with the certainty of faith in Jesus Christ. But there's a theme peculiar to Matthew's Gospel that he chose to emphasize that we find in verse 13. If you've got the NIV, you'll notice that the beginning of that paragraph under the title, "The Calling of Matthew," indicates that incident likewise is mentioned in each of the Gospels. But at the end, Matthew writes in verse 13, "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice." Luke and Mark miss out that particular verse, that particular nuance, but Matthew puts it into his Gospel, as he does again in chapter 12 and verse 7. And this is one of the markers that Matthew lays out for us to take notice of as we're reading through his gospel. We've to notice together what is true mercy. The kind of mercy that God wants to see in his people. But it's the kind of mercy that is already found in Jesus Christ. If you turn back to Hosea chapter 6, you'll go on to read in that verse, "Not only I desire mercy, but not sacrifice. The acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." And we find a ruler of the synagogue acknowledging the ways of God, coming to him, crying for mercy. And a woman who comes to Jesus looking for mercy. And as we come to this particular passage this morning, I want us to see this step of faith by the ruler and by the woman within the context of the mercy of God. The Lord's merciful response to those who exercise faith in Jesus Christ. But before we look at the exercise of faith as in these two people, focusing our attention more upon the woman than Jairus, let's compare and contrast this ruler and this woman. They're always placed together in Scripture. And here is a woman, in all that womanhood meant in a society in which she lived, from a humble background, who had been ill for many years, came seeking help for herself from Jesus Christ. On the other hand, there was a ruler, a man of standing within his community, within the synagogue of Capernaum, a man who was recognized and acknowledged, who had a daughter that was presumably recently very ill. Two very different kinds of people. If you like, the root and the leaf of all humanity. But they both came to him in extreme circumstances. Both came to him exercising faith. Both coming to receive something that was impossible. And what we find in reading this story is that faith had been elicited from them. As they had heard about Jesus Christ, and as the Lord worked in their own soul, bringing them to faith, trying and testing, and correcting their faith. And that's one thing the Lord spends a great deal of time doing for each one of us. In exercising our faith, in stretching our faith, in testing it through different circumstances and situations, correcting us in our faith. And already within Matthew's gospel, twice Jesus had chided people. "Oh, men of little faith." And we find him on other occasions encouraging people within the faith. "If you just have faith as small as a mustard seed, you would say to that mountain, 'Be cast into the sea.'" And the Lord spends a great deal of time exercising us within the faith and in our faith, because he longs to cause us to grow in faith. Do you remember how Peter puts it later on in his life when he writes his first epistle? "Your faith is more precious than gold." And the Lord exercises us and disciplines us and corrects us within the faith. And that's what we find within this passage here this morning. Here are two people exercising simple faith. And it's accepted by the mercy of the one who expected mercy from his people. And yet he deals with these people, moving them on, making them progress in their faith. And we need to examine this morning the way in which Jesus dealt with these two people. And in the first place, and from verse 20, as Jesus deals with this woman, there is a faith that is corrected. A faith corrected. You've been to the optician to get your eyes tested, and you go through a very thorough test, and the optician says to you at the end of his test, well, you can still see, you still have eyesight, but what you have needs to be corrected. And what you need is this prescription. And he or she prescribes whatever is necessary for you. And lo and behold, when you put on your new spectacles, you can see in a way that's much clearer than before. Even though when you had your old glasses on, you never recognized it. You didn't realize that you needed the prescription changed. And here was a woman who came to Jesus exercising true faith, genuine faith. But Jesus turns to her in order to deal with her and correct her faith. You know the story well from verse 20, how this woman had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. And she decided to go to Jesus very quietly, to go up behind him unseen, unnoticed, because she said to herself, if I just touch the edge of his cloak, I'll be healed. We're told elsewhere in the different Gospels that she had actually spent everything she had on doctors. And judging by the remedies that we find in the Talmud and different places, this kind of thing that she experienced wasn't uncommon in the ancient world. But some of the remedies verged on superstition. And even though she had spent everything she had going from different doctor to different doctor, she was still unwell. She was physically unhealthy. She was wasted and weakened. And what was even worse, I suppose, for her, was that according to the Levitical law, she was unclean, and she was always unclean. She was obviously very embarrassed and wanting to be modest about her own condition, wanted to come to Jesus very quietly, very unnoticed, so that she didn't make a scene. Because if she touched people, they would be unclean. If she touched Jesus, he would become unclean. And she decided that if I just touch the tassel on Jesus' outer garment, there would be no physical contact, but she would be healed. We've no idea what led her to think in this kind of way, but she had the grasp that she needed to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. She wanted to be healed. In silence. So she went to him, stretched out her hand, and she was healed immediately. But it's then that Jesus immediately stops and immediately reacts to the situation. And he turns around within the whole crowd and says, "Who touched me?" And we ask ourselves, but how did he know someone touched him if the crowd was jostling together? And the answer is simply that Jesus knew power had gone out from him. And of course that occurred to the disciples too. But listen, lots of people are touching you and jostling against you. What's made the difference for this particular woman? And they were quite annoyed with Jesus about stopping. And Jesus stopped because he was aware that power had gone out from him. And even though Jesus never felt her touching him, Jesus wasn't unaware of what was happening. And he wasn't unwilling for her to be healed, but he stopped there in order to make an issue of what had happened. But you notice what Matthew mentions. Matthew doesn't mention what the other Gospels do, that power had gone out from Jesus and that the disciples were exasperated. Matthew draws our attention to the words that Jesus spoke to her. Do you see that? In verse 22, Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. Did you notice that as you were reading through? Jesus had so many people around him. Some more important than others. And yet he stops to speak to this woman. And what's Matthew drawing our attention to here? "Take heart, daughter," he says. Isn't he drawing our attention to the mercy of Jesus to this woman? To the tenderness of Jesus' heart to this particular person? I wonder if that's what you need to hear this morning. As you've come into God's house in order to have dealings with God, just longing to stretch out your hand by faith, simply to know healing. And what we find when Jesus turns to this woman is a heart filled with affection, filled with love, filled with mercy, a heart that went out to her, "My daughter, take heart." And we find exactly the same to the man in chapter 9 and verse 2, to the paralytic. He says, "Take heart, son." And we, like this woman, have come into God's house this morning, full of faith, wanting to have dealings with Jesus Christ, but unwilling to come to him assuming too much concerning yourself. Perhaps you just slipped in this morning with no fuss, and after our service we'll slip away without bothering anyone, just so that you could slip up, as it were, behind Jesus and stretch out your hand by faith to him. But Jesus will have none of it. In the midst of Jairus' grievous situation, Jesus stops everything. And he turns to this woman. He picks her out in the crowd and waits until she acknowledges herself to him, so that he can speak with her and deal with her, exclusive of the crowd. You see, we often think we come into the presence of the Lord unnoticed, hidden. But not one of us comes into the presence of God, however unimportant, hidden. Because she was loved. She was cherished. She was cared for by the Lord. But he needs to correct something for her. She came to him, exercising faith, and stretched out her hand, saying to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I'll be healed." But Jesus says to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." Jesus didn't need to feel this woman's touch against his person. Even before the woman came, having exercised her faith in him, Jesus already knew all about it. And he was willing that power should go out from him to her. And here is Jesus, When this woman comes to exercise faith in him, full of mercy, he doesn't hesitate. He accepts her straight away. He doesn't disdain this poor woman. But he turns around to address her, to encourage her, despite the weakness of her faith, but because her faith had a fault and a weakness, he turned and stopped and spoke to her. What was the weakness of her faith? She believed that in coming to Jesus Christ, she could exclude personal dealing with him. Isn't that the fault? She had a right faith in him. She came to him. But she thought she could go away without personal appeal to him. She didn't want to hinder him. She wasn't all that important. She would just go to Jesus and slip away. But Jesus turns around and shines his face, as it were, upon her. You see, the fault in her faith was this. If she had simply put her hand out, touched the hem of his garment, the tassel, she could have gone away and been led into superstition, just like the remedies of the ancient world were almost superstitious. She could have said, well, if I just touch something that he had, I would be healed. And she could have gone away thinking, she received power from someone, something other than the living God. But we receive power from him, not in coming to church, not in taking a sacrament, not in some supposed relic of the past, not in membership of a certain denomination. We come to deal personally with Jesus Christ. And so Jesus turns around to this woman and says, take heart, daughter. It's your faith that has healed you. It wasn't the touch of the garment. It's your faith that healed you. She could have gone away too, assuming that she could exercise faith in Jesus Christ and remain hidden from him, remain unnoticed to him. As if she, in her need, would receive anything else from him that was less than other people or different than other people. And Jesus turned to her and, as we would say, indicated to her that it was the same precious blood, the same Holy Spirit, the same Heavenly Father, a faith of equal standing to all God's people, and none remains hidden to the gaze, to the love, to the mercy of Jesus Christ. She could have gone away, couldn't she? Thinking to herself, well, Jesus wasn't really interested in her. She could receive his power. But he wasn't interested in her. But he gloriously turns around to her, looks at her in the face, and speaks to her these words of encouragement. Take heart, daughter. Your faith has healed you. And even though we come to church in a great crowd, even though we pray to him in a great crowd, the Lord singles us out and deals with us personally. He's interested in us personally. And he deals with us gloriously with his merciful touch. Do you see the mercy of Jesus Christ as he deals with this woman? He bore with her weakness. But in his mercy, he didn't disappoint her faith, but turned to correct it. Turned to show her where she was wrong, She wasn't healed by a garment, but by the Savior. She wasn't healed by a touch. She was healed by faith. So Jesus, in the first instance, corrects this woman's faith. In the second, Jesus tests this man Jairus' faith. And our time is running short this morning. And I want us to deal with that very, very briefly. But you know the story well. Here was a man who came to Jesus because his daughter was on the verge of death. And whilst Jesus was on the way, his daughter died. And just as that man's faith begins to fail him, Jesus in Mark's Gospel admonished him to have faith, to go on exercising faith. Now that can't have been easy, can it, in the face of death? And when he got back to his home to continue exercising faith, when other people were scoffing at Jesus. And it's never easy to continue exercising faith in Jesus Christ as we look at death. As we're in a society that scoffs and laughs. He knew the child was dead. They knew the child was dead. And this man's faith was strained and tested in the face of that. But you know what happens? This girl dies and Jesus stops to deal with this woman. To add to the strain of faith, Jesus stresses this man by causing him to wait while Jesus dealt with this woman, who after all was so unimportant. But here Jesus gives Jairus the opportunity to go on exercising faith. Faith in him, despite the situation, despite the difficulty. He was a man who came to Jesus and was severely tested. And I know some of you this morning are under that same kind of severe test. And it seems as if one thing added to another compounds our difficulty. But here Jairus says to Jesus, in the face of death, come and put your hand on her and she will live. Because Jesus prompts him to move, to see the exercise of faith even into death itself. Do you see the mercy of Jesus Christ? Correcting one woman's faith to make it truer and more accurate. In the same way that he corrects us as we seek to grow in grace. Do you see the way in which, even in mercy, Jesus trains us in the faith? Just like he did for Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. Let's pray to the Lord that whatever way he's dealing with us in our faith, we will heed his correction. We will heed his training. Let's pray together. Our gracious God, we bless you for your word. And we give you thanks that we have received from your hand grace upon grace. And we cry to you as your people, as you lead us into days when you correct and sharpen our faith, or when you test us with the severest testing, that we would be brought out in our faith as pure gold. Lord, keep us faithful and enable us more and more to place our faith in you and know the joy of believing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.